Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We'll be looking at our reading from Revelation. I know it's not an Old Testament reading, but the book of Revelation, chapter 7. If you have that open. We're going to talk about what it means to be famous. Maybe you want to be famous. Maybe you want to have 5,000 Facebook friends or a million Twitter followers. You guys too old for that stuff? I don't know, people in your phone, your iPhone, is it nice to scroll through all your phone's contacts and see, wow, all these people, they know me, you know. I can call any one of them that I want. I must be so famous. You watch people in the movies and they look so happy because they are known by so many people, right? So they have so much money. Right, the professional athletes, LeBron James's and the Michael Jordan's. They're famous, right? They're worth remembering. According to Wikipedia, I know this isn't official, but really what is, right? It's all opinions. But they have the top 10 most significant figures in human history. And they base it on the impact their opinions had over time. Number 10, Thomas Jefferson. 9, Alexander the Great. Aristotle, number 8. Hitler, number 7. Didn't say it was good opinions, right? George Washington, number 6. Number 5, Abraham Lincoln. Number 4, Muhammad, the prophets of Islam. Number 3, William Shakespeare. And number 2, Napoleon. Number 1, can you guess? Donald Trump, no. Jesus was number 1, right? Even Wikipedia ends up putting Jesus as the most significant figure in human history. And Christianity is still the largest religion in the world with 2.3 billion people. Close second to Islam with 1.8 billion. Some might think that, we're on the popular side, right? As we go out in the world, most people we run into are Christian, right? You know that's not the case. As many people as write the Christian religion as their affiliation, very few of them practice the faith that they confess. So maybe even if you want to be famous, a superstar, or a singer, or a celebrity, I'm guessing, though, you at least probably want to be known by somebody, right? You don't want to just live and die and have no one come to your funeral, right? Who would want that? So we have this inbuilt desire to be known and to be liked and to have people say nice things about us, right? So even on a large scale, we might not want to be famous. On a small scale, a lot of our life ends up being driven by our desire to be liked, our desire for people to say good things about us. Maybe we don't want to be an Angelina Jolie, but we want to be known in our community as a good mom. We don't want to be LeBron James, but we want to be known as a good and loving dad who has successful kids or grandkids. Maybe we don't want to get into world records, the Guinness Book of World Records, but we might want to be thought of by people that will say about us that we're smart, that we're athletic, that we're good at our jobs, that we're attractive or handsome or good-looking. The desire to win the approval of people is strong, is it not? And there's two ways you can live your life. You can live it to have what people will say about you be good. You could try. But then, there's the way of the saint. The saints pictured here. The saints pictured here aren't here because the world put them in their hall of fame, are they? They're not there before the throne of the Lamb of God, serving Him day and night in His temple because Wikipedia did a survey that said they were really influential. They're not there because some really important people in history said they matter. They're not there because people at a church or in the community said so many good things about them. You know why they're there? Because they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because they matter to Jesus. That's why they're there. The problem is, while on earth we don't receive such a welcome, do we? As we see in Revelation, every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne, before the Lamb, with palm branches, victory, crying out in a loud voice, full of joy, thanksgiving. You see, we want to live to get the approval of people on earth because that's what we can see. That's who we're going to run into every day. It affects our emotions. It affects our comfort level. It affects how hard our life will be, right? So it's easy to just think that life is all about getting in the world's hall of fame or getting in my community or my churches or my families or whoever I think their opinion matters the most, right? As long as they say something good about me, I'll have a good life. The thing about saints is that they are sanctified, right? We're washed, our identity comes completely from outside of ourselves. Our worth and our value comes from God. God is the reason why we are redeemed. And the reason we have this wonderful hope of glory to look forward to. And yet, we also see in Matthew chapter 5 that saints, they suffer, don't they? They're the poor in spirit. They're the mourners. There's those persecuted for righteousness' sake. They're reviled. They're persecuted and utter all kinds of evil against them. People utter all kinds of evil against them falsely because of Jesus. They do the right thing even when it's difficult. They're meek. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, not what the world says. They are merciful when people don't deserve it. They're pure in heart when the world says to be full of lust and immorality. They're peacemakers when everybody just wants to excuse conflict and sing kumbaya. They're people that the world does not put as most influential. And yes, we live in a time in America when the church is no longer seen as really mattering that much. Right? Now we can think about this and say, okay, well, what do we got to do to make people like us? Or we can remember who we are and what Jesus says about us. And that in fact, listening to Jesus and living to please Him, we will be the best servants, and we will show the best love to those around us. Because being saints, we know it's all about Jesus. He's the one who created us. He's the one who redeemed us from our dirty, sinful robes. He's the reason we have hope. He's the reason we have the hope of resurrection, as it says in Romans chapter 8. He's the reason we're in a family that lasts forever. I might have said before that there was an African pastor who said, you know, the problem with the church in America is you don't want to suffer for Jesus, and you won't grow as a church unless you're willing to suffer for Jesus. In fact, a lot of times we don't want to be even inconvenienced for our faith, do we? Well, the good news is Jesus still calls us His saints. For all of our dirtiness, Jesus washed all that away too. And He gives us the strength to live the rest of our lives differently so that we don't live to fit in and to be accepted and to be like everybody else, but that we live to stand out. We live to shine like saints who are different. Not just because of what has been done to us, but because of who lives in us. The moment of our baptism. Whose life now controls us and compels us. Whose love transforms our hearts. This is the life of faith. It's not a life of fitting in. It's not a life of people pleasing. It's a life devoted to God. And follows Him and worships Him just as the saints are doing in Revelation. All blessing, honor, glory, power, and might be to our true God forever and ever. Amen. This is the cry that we have now. That is true. Salvation belongs to our God. The famous one. the one that is the most worthy to be remembered since the beginning of time and forever and ever. Number one, Jesus Christ. You know, the saints aren't there because they had great lives, are they? They're not in this hall of fame, so to speak, in heaven because of what they've done. As it is, they're not celebrating themselves. They're celebrating the work of the one they had hoped in and lived for while they were on earth. The one whom they now see and whom they give glory and praise. The one who won the victory for them over sin and death and hell. It was the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. Did anybody pay attention to this? No, these are two teams that I just really don't care for. But, yeah. But obviously, the Dodgers and the Astro fans paid attention to it, right? The Dodgers had a chance to win in Game 7. And they were the home team. You know what happened? They didn't win. The team that was away won. How strange is that? In Game 7, home field advantage that the home team wouldn't win? Team so talented and gifted even? Well, as Christians, we're not home yet, are we? As saints. This is not our home. We are on the away field. And that is why it's tough. That's why it feels like not a lot of people are rooting for us. That's why it feels like you can't find a lot of friends in the stands. That's why it feels like, and even is, sometimes hostile when you go amongst the crowds. But yet, Jesus promises victory. Because he gives victory. He has already sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God. His blood already purifies us. And he is already alive and risen forevermore. And so while we might not get a welcome home celebration as the Astros got when they went to field on the field in Game 7, you can bet they celebrated when they got home. And we're with their fans. Same with us, isn't it? Here we suffer, we toil. There's tribulation, trials that we go through. But yet, there is a day when we will meet all the saints, all the ones that we didn't think mattered, all the ones we've never even heard of, the ones that we were there before we were even born and existed after we died and nobody remembered us. All these people, God remembers. All these people will celebrate with us, saying to us, welcome home. You made it. Rather, he made it. He promised it. He made it true just as he said he would. So Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You think that Astros fans really cared about all the hard work of practice and the doubts and the worries and the fears and the failures that they had after they had won? Oh, it's all forgotten. Because it doesn't compare to the joy of victory. And in this brief life that we have, what is a little bit of suffering in comparison to the eternal glory that we have in Jesus? I'd like to close with a quote from Jim Caviezel. He was the actor who played the Passion of the Christ in the famous film, right? What I didn't know about him, he was actually a strong Christian. And you can watch some of his interviews online. Where I like to call attention, particularly this quote that he said about fame. Your name might not appear down in this world's hall of fame. In fact, you might be so unknown that no one knows your name. The Oscars and the praise of men may never come your way, but don't forget that God has rewards that He'll hand out someday. This crowd on earth will soon forget. When you're not at the top, they will cheer like mad, and then when you fall, their praise will stop. But not God. He never does forget. And in His hall of fame, by just believing in His Son, forever, there's your name. I tell you, friends, I would not trade my name, however small. It's written there beyond the stars in that celestial hall. For all the famous names on earth and the glory that they share, I'd rather be an unknown here and have my name up there. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.